Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
All right, thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. You are tuned in to a special studio session. I'm your host, Aaron Fairbanks, and we are on the line with David Lively. David, welcome to the show.
Hi.
It's great to have you on. So we today are going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Organicology Conference. And do I understand correctly that you were one of the founders of the conference?
I am indeed.
So it's interesting, the conference is seems a little bit different than other kind of food-based stuff that I've seen around, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about the genesis of the idea for the conference and give us a little bit of history with regards to what you were trying to accomplish when you originally envisioned the conference.
Okay, you're breaking up a bunch, Aaron, but I think I kind of got what you're shooting for. So my business, Organically Grown Company, we're a produce business, deal specifically in organic produce. And a number of years ago, we started what we called a vendor fair, in which we brought our accounts and the growers we work with from all over North and South America together for one day a year, where all those people could link up. And we brought our staff in it as well. And our goal is really to have all those diverse parties know each other a whole lot better than just through price sheets and the logos on boxes and stuff like that. And we were very successful at that. We did it a couple years. And what I started looking at was that we, you know, it was kind of a mission accomplished deal. Retailers had stood on one side of a table, a grower was on the other, and they had talked about packaged goods and boxes of produce and stuff. But I really felt that what was missing was the retailer really having a good understanding of all the challenges that growers were facing back on the farm in terms of financing, in terms of aging populations, in terms of food safety issues, market. You're in a trade that requires staggering investments to get going and has very low profit margins at the other end. So we started conceiving of an idea of what I originally was calling a farm fair, where we could have similar people at the table, but they could get the table out of the way, basically. And people would really become more aware of things that were outside of their box and outside of what they were encountering daily in their aspect of it. Oregon Tilth, who's another one of the sponsors, which is one of the largest premier certifiers of organics in the United States, approached us and wanted to do an event with us. That seemed the time to lock into it, and we pulled in the Organic Seed Alliance, which is an issue dear to our heart, what's going on in seed issues, as a third partner, and the three of us started formulating that. And then we brought in a fourth partner, the Food Trade Sustainability Leadership Group Association, that was working with us. So there's four sponsors of the deal, and we only do it every 2 years because we've all got day jobs. and we do it across a very large, broad spectrum of interests and ideas and challenges.
So can you give us a little sample of what are some of the things on the schedule for people who are attending the conference? I should say registration is still open. If people want to attend, they can still sign up. That's correct, right?
Like I said, you're breaking up so bad I can barely hear you, but I think you're asking about registration, and registration is still open, and I think it is until early next week.
Okay, let's just take a look at the line here. We actually, Time Warner went completely out this afternoon, so we're just back on. Are you able to hear me any better now?
Yeah, a little bit better.
Okay, we'll keep adjusting those levels and trying to get the line clearer for you. So people can still register, and I'm just curious, so when you get there, can you give us a little sense of what the workshops or topics will be that people can participate in and just a little bit of a flavor for what the day will look like?
Yeah. So one thing we do is it's a three-day conference, and unlike most conferences that we go to, which most of them have social events, most of them have keynotes, but ours actually has a different focus each day. So the first day, which is Thursday the 7th, is what we call the intensive day. So there are five intensives that run all day long, you know, pretty much 9 in the morning till 5, 9:30 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. The one that I'm going to be heading is on organic produce. It's called Challenges and Success in the Organic Produce Department. There's also one on sustainable business. There's one on Farm Bill and food safety legislation and policy. There's another, which I'm real interested in, wish I could attend on, the next generation of organic leaders. And there's a fifth one on organic seed production. And those are real deep dives on real specific areas for people, you know, who typically the people who attend that are people who that is pretty critical to how they're doing business. But not always. Some people jump lines and come into stuff they don't really know a lot about. The second day is a workshop day, and there's three rounds of workshops during that day, and they're all over the map. A lot of seed stuff, a lot of sustainability stuff, a lot of various things for growers. But there's also one on responsible packaging. There's one on organic berry crop production. There's one on enhancing habitat for beneficial insects. So a real diversity of workshops. And then on Saturday is the trade show, and it's an interesting trade show. It's primarily produce people, but it's also all kinds of other people in there as well, seed companies and natural products outfits. But at this point, it is the largest gathering, the largest trade show of organic produce farmers in a trade show setting that happens at any time during the year in the United States, larger than happens at the Produce Marketing Association or the United Show or any of those things. So every day is real different than the day before. Some people attend all 3 days, but there's a lot of people who are just kind of parachuting in for one day. You know, we have a lot of retailers that just come to the trade show. They want to meet all the vendors and interact with those people, and that's that. And then there's some very interesting entertainment that happens over the 3 days. There's a seed swap. We have a great event that we developed last time that really speaks to the heart of what we're trying to do. That's a speed networking deal where we position people all around the room from all different aspects of the trade. So retailers, wholesalers, growers, entomologists, university professors, etc. And then people are able to come into the room and kind of make the rounds and talk to each of those people for 2 or 3 minutes and get introductions, all kinds of stuff they don't know about.
So the conference, you know, has been happening for a few years now, correct? So I'm curious if you can share maybe some of the success stories that have come out of past sessions.
Okay, I'm losing you again. So let's see. I think what you're saying is this is the third time we've done it. We started in 2009, and what was the rest of your question?
I'm just curious if there were some success stories that came out of past conferences that have maybe shaped the way you made decisions for future conferences. I'm sure it's an iterative process from year to year, but I'm curious if you were surprised by anything or intrigued by anything that came up.
I would say the biggest success stories have probably been, well, definitely from the seed people's viewpoint, it's been a big success because they've really been able to make their case for the crises and what's going on in seed politics to a lot of people that really were unaware of that stuff. I mean, we are literally as a population absolutely 100% dependent upon the seeds that grow our food, and it's a very contentious area at the national level as well as locally, and so their ability to get in front of a much broader audience, I think, has been pretty impactful. I think that the sustainability stuff has been as well. The Food Trade Sustainability Group has had their annual meetings there where their companies come in, which is a lot of the largest organic natural food companies in the United States come in and provide each other with annual reports on their practices and what they do and share those. So I think that's been a pretty great thing as well.
Now, I know that your company, Organically Grown Company, you guys are the largest wholesaler of organic fruits, vegetables, and herbs in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm curious, for folks who are attending the conference, If everyone is operating at a similar scale of either purchasing or production, or if there's like some variability with regards to that?
To the size of the operations?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. I'm curious. Yeah, but like, who, as far as who's coming to the table, I mean, is it other purchasers that are of a similar size to you, and is it people who are growing at a volume that could supply an entire kind of region like that, or does it, you have a variety of smaller, larger, medium sized organizations?
Yeah, there's people there of every scale and kind of approach that you can imagine. You know, there'll be three or four large scale distributors there that are in produce. There'll be a handful of really large farms. Some of the largest organic farms in the United States will be displaying there and be at some of the workshops. But there's also lots of very small scale growers that we work with in the Northwest. People from CSAs, people who are just doing farmers markets and stuff like that, who are, you know, coming to specific workshops to hone their skills and stuff. So it's very diverse. And in fact, that's one of the things that we really went after when we developed this deal, was the diversity of who is there. You know, most of the conferences have fairly specific focuses. In the Northwest, Provenir is aimed at retailers and manufacturers, or EcoFarm is mostly aimed at policy people and farmers, whereas we're really after the entire line from policy through seeds, fertilizer companies, growers, retailers, distributors, everything, all the way, and even some eaters will be there. So lots and lots of diversity and different scales.
Now, and I'm curious, within the kind of organic food world, can you give us a little bit of a window into what are some of the kind of contentious conversations that happen? I mean, I think often it's pitted as like organic versus non-organic, but I know within organic, people have different, understandings or different aspirations for regards to how standards should be applied or regulated, and I wonder if you can give us a sense of kind of within this conference where you're bringing together all these different players, what are some of the kind of big themes that people are tossing around with regards to that type of regulatory or enforcement environment?
Well, one of the big, I would say that the biggest, broad stroke issues that are facing the trade right now, one is food safety. And what are we going to do about food safety, and what degree does food safety enhance organic agriculture, and what degree does it really challenge it and pare it down? You know, a lot of what happened in California after some of the food safety scares was, legislators advocating for basically fence line to fence line, destruction of all, hedgerows, sloughs, ecosystems, destruction of avian habitat to where birds can't fly over fields. Stuff like that. So, and then just the regulation on top of, organic is already highly regulated in terms of third-party certification and the law and stuff, and chose to do that, to be that with the government. But how far does food safety go is a big one. The whole issue of what Secretary Vilsack at USDA has called coexistence between organic and conventional seed producers.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole GMO issue has been a big one in seed. And that has obviously spilled over with the proposition in California into just GMOs, period. So, for instance, there are some sponsors at Organicology that their parent companies are conventional companies, and some of those conventional companies, fought against the GMO labeling law in California. And we had to really think, the sponsors, about what our position was on that and whether we were going to welcome those companies to Organicology and accept sponsorships. Our decision ultimately was that there has to be platforms for the debating of these type of topics, and that everyone has to be welcome to those debates. So we went ahead with that. But those are some of the big ones that are really dynamic, dynamic arguments, I think.
So I want to just talk a little bit about Organically Grown Company, which is a company that you run, and maybe you can give us just a brief sense of of how you guys got started and the work that you're doing today.
Okay, well, we got started, the Organically Grown Cooperative was founded in 1978, and it was founded as a nonprofit organization. It was mostly just a networking process for growers in the upper Willamette Valley around Eugene. They did a few fertilizer purchases and seed purchases, and they compared production notes and stuff. But in the early 80s, there were enough of us trying to do business that we were really starting to bang heads and fighting pretty seriously over a very small marketplace. And we decided that the solution wasn't to compete, but to cooperate. And so at that time, we rewrote the bylaws and became a for-profit agricultural marketing cooperative. And I think we had about a dozen member farms at that point, and hired staff, opened a warehouse in 1983 and began doing business, and have grown at a staggering rate since. I'm sure we've averaged over 20% growth every year since. We've gone from one employee to 208, one very small warehouse to three facilities in the Northwest. Today we deal with about 500 growers probably and several hundred accounts. And still focus on organic produce almost exclusively. We have a national sales presence for some crops. You know, there's certain things that are grown in the Northwest that are of quality and quantity that we end up shipping them. So berries, some root crops, potatoes, onions, and stuff like that. We sell to a full range of accounts everywhere from food buying clubs to home delivery outfits to restaurants to retailers, and up on the line to Kroger, Safeway, Albertsons. And we're the only wholesaler in the Northwest that's selling organics to all of the natural food cooperatives, of which I think there's 13 in the Northwest, and to all of the major chains.
So, I mean, as a wholesaler, you're kind of uniquely positioned in that you get to communicate both with the retailers but also with the growers. And I'm just curious, what do you think, you know, is the role or the responsibility of someone in that position with regards to looking at moving the production of organic products forward?
I didn't catch the last part of that.
Sure. Well, just looking at, you know, what is the responsibility of someone in a wholesaling position in that kind of conversation with regards to growing the organic movement, increasing both kind of the consumption but also facilitating the production? I mean, what role do you get to play there?
Yeah. Well, where we're at, what's interesting is we, you know, we're originally completely grower-owned, and we're still 50% of our shares are owned by growers. In fact, we just voted a grower into ownership just recently, and so we're still very highly attuned to the growers that we work with and their, you know, financial needs and their needs for planning and all that kind of stuff. And in a trade, I think in the conventional trade, just the sheer scale of it has allowed there to be a little more casualness to it, maybe, in terms of there's enough growers out there to supply the market to some degree. In something as small as the organic trade, that is just not the case. You know, we've got a pretty thin cord, and it can be broken pretty easily still in terms of us not having enough. So if you're not pretty, if you're in a place like us, and there's seven or eight distributors like us in the United States, and you're not really tuned in with the growers that you work with and what they're producing, and you're not really talking to them about what your needs are and how much you're probably going to buy from them, you're in trouble. And in our case, we actually do a formal deal with about 50 growers in the Northwest, maybe more, where we actually do a coordination process where we actually give them numbers, seasons, windows, and stuff, and actually kind of come up with semi-formal agreements with them in terms of what they're going to produce for us. And then the other part is that we really consider ourselves to be very responsible to the trade and to the movement. We work with other distributors. We are engaged with deliberations at the National Organic Standards Board. We're members of the National Organic Coalition, we were the first for-profit member that was asked to join that organization that works on a lot of policy stuff. So we really, you know, we take our commitment to the grower end and to the trade seriously and to the movement seriously, because truly you know, organic foods got in the position they are because of the greens movement and people who are looking to make change in our society and culture across a broad front, and it just so happened that the fuel they relied upon was organic foods. So we've got both a profound and a very practical role in a much larger effort.
Wow, David, thank you. It's been really fascinating to chat with you, and I apologize for the connection issues. I just want to thank you for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and so folks, if you want to sign up or if you want to just take a peek and learn a little bit more about the conference, you can visit www.organicology.org. If you want to learn a little bit more about David's company and the work they do as wholesalers, you can find them at www.organicgrown.com. Once again, thanks so much for listening to this special studio session. I've been your host, Aaron Fairbanks, and I'm signing out.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.